To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Welcome back to another live episode of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football family with me, your host, as always, Harry Simeon. International break. Lots of friendlies coming up this weekend. Don't know how much I'm going to, you know, dedicate in terms of time to watching those and taking those in. I know we've got the Euros on the horizon. And look, let me be clear. I absolutely love international tournaments. I even accept, even though a lot of other people don't and feel like they're a waste of time too, but I'm also okay with us having pauses for qualifiers and playoffs and all of that kind of thing. But the friendlies, are they really necessary right now? We said it on a podcast just the other day. Why not end the season a little bit earlier by scrapping these friendly breaks and having those friendlies before the tournaments, before the competitions? Surely that would make more sense in terms of getting your players in, getting them all embedded, getting them all working together, getting your tactical instructions and points across. Surely that makes more sense. But, you know, we don't do things the common sense way, do we, in the world? That's just the way it is. Big good morning to everybody who is joining us live at the moment. I can see there are a load of you joining us on YouTube, and we've got plenty of you joining us on X as well. Great to see you guys. We don't always stream to X, but we've been doing it a little bit recently, and people seem to be watching it, which is pretty cool. If you do want access, though, to all of our content, if you do want to be able to get your notifications every time we post a new video and all the rest of it, then please do come over to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed. Alternatively, if you prefer to take the podcast in audio format, then you can subscribe on all major podcast stores as well to the Chronicles of Aguna. Right, on today's show, we are going to talk Bukayo Saka. Is he injured? What's the latest on the Arsenal man who withdrew from the England squad ahead of their friendlies coming up this weekend? We're also going to review that peri-peri Saka sauce, which I tried last night. We're going to talk about Arsenal's friendly defeat behind closed doors, of course, at the hands of Queen's Park Rangers. And I'm going to rave a little bit about Greece's comprehensive victory over Kazakhstan, which means they are just one win away from qualifying for the Euros. They play Georgia, and back in the Euros, 20 years after the miracle happened. I'm not saying anything more than that. We'll get right into it after this. Let's say a few hellos, because there are plenty of you joining us. We've got Brian, who says he's a Greek from NYC. He says, hello, Harry. Hope you're well, mate. Good to see you. Afzar says, morning, Harry, and all the Gooners out there. He says, I hope that all players, all of our players, pull out of international football. I don't want any of our players to play for their country. Just focus on Arsenal. Alexander Zinchenko, of course, featured for Ukraine yesterday, who also made it through, coming back from a goal down against Bosnia-Herzegovina to book their place in the playoff finals as well. Rowan Saragis joins us, Greek brother. He says, what a great win for the Ethniki yesterday. Ethniki means national team, for those of you that are not Greek speakers and are wondering what the hell we're talking about. Zed Tom says, good morning, Harry and chat again. Let's hope that we're just being savvy with Saka, just like we were with Gabriel. Let the kid rest and be fully fit for Manchester City. We've got James joining us from North Carolina. Sammy joins us from stateside. We've got Daniel. Hacker is in the gym, apparently, listening in. We've got Django, Temi, Sumit joins us from India as well. Good to see so many of you in the live chat, as always. Okay, anyway, let's dive into the first of today's talking points. Let's begin with Arsenal's behind-closed-doors friendly defeat at the hands of Queen's Park Rangers. Now, we read reports sort of early on yesterday that this game was going to take place. We heard that this game was due to happen at the TSG Elite Training and Performance Center, another sponsored training ground. There you go. And, you know, we didn't know who the opponent was initially, and then it sort of emerged that it was Queen's Park Rangers, you know, a side that are down at the bottom of the Championship, that are trying desperately to kind of pull away from the drop zone, but who have significantly improved, by the way, under Marty Cifuentes. I've covered QPR a few times this season. At the beginning of the season, under Gareth Ainsworth, as nice a guy as he is, they just weren't cutting it, right? They weren't performing. The football was dull. It was drab. It was boring. You were looking at that side and you could see, you know, people like Willock and Elias Chair and Sinclair Armstrong all in the side. And you're looking at it and you're going, why aren't you packing more of a punch given the players you have, which are pretty good players at that level in terms of going forward? But wasn't quite right at QPR. They made the change eventually, and Cifuentes has come in and certainly improved Queen's Park Rangers. And I think they're probably just about going to have enough in the end to survive. But when you think about it, you go Championship side versus Premier League side. This isn't really a competition, and there's no excuse for Arsenal not going out there and wiping the floor with them. And then the details of the game emerged. And I don't think, having seen the side that Arsenal picked, there's any real surprise with the way that this went. What I'll do is I'll just share with you from the club website the lineup that Arsenal named for this one. Let me just share the screen with you. Bear with me a second. Here we go. So Ejaheri started the game in goal. He was replaced by Rojas basically at halftime. Nichols, Robinson, Foran were across the back with Tomiyasu, who was back in the side, but he was replaced at halftime by Quesada Thorne. Partey started the game in midfield. Lewis Skelly played as well. Gower, Kozier, Dubry, Butler, Oyedeji, and Kamara were the rest of the starting 11. But of course, Cabia came on to replace Thomas Partey on 64 minutes. Bandera came on to replace Gower. Ulad Mahand replaced Kozier Dubry, and Rosiak, of course, replaced Kamara. So it was a really, really inexperienced young side, mainly made up of players from our kind of under-21s group. And then, of course, you know, Tomiyasu got some minutes and Thomas Partey got some minutes. Now, it's going to be so important between now and the end of the season that those guys are available to help us as and when we need them. And they're only going to be able to do that if we've allowed them to get some minutes under their belts, if we've allowed them to build up towards match fitness. We talk about it all the time. I know this is a friendly and it's against a side that I don't know what QPR's team looked like, but I'm sure they made a whole host of changes as well. But you need minutes, man, and you need minutes in match situations. Behind closed doors friendlies, okay, they're not played at the same intensity as a Premier League game. I accept that and acknowledge that, but you do need some match practice and match sharpness again. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this friendly was put together 99% of the reason being for Partey and Tomiyasu to get minutes, because, you know, that's the priority. That's what Arsenal are looking to build those guys up to. And they've managed it. Of course, Tomiyasu only played a half, Thomas Partey a little bit longer, but he's been back and in the picture for longer. But you can't take these risks and these gambles in games of meaning when these players have been out for such a long time. We know that, you know, Partey was on the bench against Porto, and there was a point where our midfield, I think, started to tire a little bit. Jorginho started to tire a little bit. But you're not going to take Jorginho off. Well, he did take Jorginho off, but you're not going to bring Thomas Partey on in an intense, high-level game like that when he's hardly played any minute in the last few months. So this is why this is really important, to build these guys up, to get them to a point where they can start to come into the first team, not weaken us, build themselves up and be available to start as well, because we are going to need to rotate certain elements of this team going into the business end of the season. We've got a really tough run of fixtures in the Premier League with some difficult away games to come. Manchester City next. We've still got to go to Spurs. We've still got to go to Old Trafford. Got to go to the likes of Brighton, which isn't going to be easy. There's a few games in there that I look at and I think, yeah, they're going to be tough. And sandwiched in between loads of that are Champions League games against the very highest caliber of opposition in Bayern Munich. And if we manage to make it through that, we're going to play Manchester City or Real Madrid. So we need our squad. And if this is a way of putting minutes in the tanks of your Partey's and your Tomiyasu's, then I'm all for it. We didn't take any risks with anybody else. We know that most of the other players are out on international duty, which means they wouldn't have been available anyway. But I think this is smart. And I think that this is one of those things where the result is very much secondary. In fact, I'd go as far as saying the result is irrelevant. It's about giving minutes to the players that really, really do need them. Big hello to everybody joining us on X right now as well. If you haven't done so already, please come over and check us out on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platform. If you are watching us on YouTube, leave a like on the video. I tell you all the time, it really, really does help. Subscribe if you haven't. And if you're listening on audio, please do leave us a review and subscribe as well. Let's go over to the comments and see what some of you guys are saying. There's a few questions about other things, which I'll favor and I'll come back to a little bit later on. Temiola says, will QPR be title contenders next season, Harry? I wouldn't be surprised after a result like that. No, I'm just kidding. Ray Beam says it was the under 21 team that the mighty QPR beat with a rusty Tommy and Thomas. Still not great. Look, I've had this conversation with people before, and I think that, well, I remember a couple of people that I had this conversation with taking an issue with my opinion on this, but I really do believe that the level between the elite teams in European football, so your Arsenals currently, and the under-21s has never been greater. Like, I go back to when I was growing up as a kid, and I remember going and watching Arsenal's reserves at the time, because that's what it was in those days, at Barnet, at Underhill. And, you know, there were some decent players coming through. Some of them went on to, you know, have pretty decent careers. Not all at Arsenal, but some of them went on to have really good careers. I would bet that you wouldn't get as many in terms of a percentage of this under 21s group going on and having good careers as you did back in those days. I just think the gap's got even bigger. And I think academy football is obviously a very high standard, but is it anywhere near the elite level Premier League standard? I don't think it is. And I think that is shown in the fact that so very few players who, even when they seem to be really popular and really well sought after at clubs like Arsenal, don't actually go on and establish themselves as first team fixtures. They very, very often have to leave and go to clubs of a, with all due respect, slightly lower status in order to try and establish themselves as Premier League or even Championship footballers, sometimes even lower than that. And that's fine. But I just think the gap is so big that I'm not really concerned by the fact that our under-21s, mainly our under-21s, were beaten quite convincingly by a side in a lower division. So, yeah, not too fussed about that, I have to say. We're going to take a short pause. When we come back, we're going to talk Perry Saka, and then we're going to talk about the man himself, more importantly, of course. So last night, ahead of Greece's game against Kazakhstan, which they won by 5-0, by the way, a game that I was a little bit concerned about, but they passed that test with flying colours, and they'll now face Georgia in the playoff final for a place at Euro 2024. You got to fancy Greece, but Georgia are a more dangerous opponent, I would argue, than Kazakhstan, just because of a couple of standout players. Feature Kvaratskhelia is one, of course, that comes to mind. But before that game last night, I decided to venture out with a few of the lads before we watched the game to have a cheeky Nando's. And of course, we've been hearing all week about Bukayo Saka's brand new sauce, the Peri-Peri Saka, they call it. It is a sauce made up of tomato, garlic, smoked paprika, and Nando's famous Peri-Peri. It kind of falls on the spice scale at around about the medium point. Look, it was okay. It was all right. It was a solid 6.5, 7 out of 10. I wouldn't give it more than that. I also don't think it deserves less than that because it wasn't any worse than some of the other Nando's sauces. But for my personal taste, it was just a little bit too mild. Some will agree, some would say they like it like that, and that's fine. What I found really, really interesting was when you walked into the shop, and I know most people don't care about this, but you know, we got to talk about it because it's super relevant and it's the international break, right? So we've got to fill airtime. But when I walked into the restaurant and I sort of looked over to where all the kind of sauces are stacked, they were well stocked with every single sauce except for this Peri Peri Saka. It was on pretty much every single table. Everybody wanted to try it. Everybody wanted to have a go. And what that kind of reminded me is how popular Bukayo Saka is, not just within Arsenal circles, but by the wider public as well. Like, he's such a likable guy, man. Like, how can you not like him? How can you not admire what he's done? How can you not admire how humble he is? And Nando's have been really, really clever here. I'm sure they've paid a good amount of money to have him sort of endorse his own sauce and all the rest of it. But it was really nice to see actually what a splash it had made, even though the sauce for me was probably no more than a 7 out of 10. And it was really interesting because the only bottle that was on the side by the time my food arrived was pretty much, I would say there was about that much in it. There wasn't much at all, but I thought, I want to try it. So I'll go and grab that. One of the waiters came over and he said, do you want me to go and refill that bottle? And he goes, I'll take it and I'll go refill it. This stuff's going like crazy at the moment. He was like, I can't keep up with it. And he said, it also makes it more difficult when Arsenal fans are walking in, loving the design on the bottle and taking it. He told me that yesterday he thinks they lost about 15 bottles with the Peri Peri Saka branding on them, which is incredible. But yeah, it just goes to show the craze and the popularity that surrounds our very own Bukayo Saka. That's enough on Nando's sauces. I know there are people here that actually want to hear about football, so why not move on to the man himself, Bukayo Saka, after some news regarding him emerged yesterday evening, and I think created a bit of panic among the Arsenal fan base.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So Bukayo Saka has withdrawn from the England squad that is due to play a couple of friendlies over the course of this weekend. There were rumours of it before it was officially confirmed, before it's confirmed by some of the real kind of reliable sources, your BBCs, your Sky Sports, and all the rest of it. And, you know, initially you're like, Bukayo Saka injury, this is really, really bad news. And then more details emerged and it was clear that this was something that was done or taken as a precautionary measure to protect the player. Now, I've spoken loads of times about how ridiculous I think it is that we're asking players to play two meaningless friendlies at this stage in the season. And I understand where the international managers are coming from, right? This is the last window they get to really look at their players before they go into a major tournament in the summer. Completely understand their predicament and their position and why they'd want these players available. I've also seen lots of people criticize Arsenal for, you know, seemingly advising Bukayo Saka to kind of pull out, having, you know, assessed this minor injury that he said to have arrived at the camp with, by the way. We did hear reports previously that he was training separately and on a different training program in order to try and manage this potential issue. But Arsenal have been criticised loads, and I find that strange because Sir Alex Ferguson, who nobody dare say a bad word about ever in the media, used to do this all the time. Business end of the season, international games will come up. He'd make sure that his players either weren't on those aeroplanes or weren't taking part. And in those days, I remember it being, oh, great, look at Sir Alex Ferguson. It's fantastic. Great management. Really, really good stuff. Really, really smart. He must really have these players on board if they would give up the opportunity to play for their countries so that they can be fit for him. The truth is, the gap between international football and club football has grown wider in that period of time. There's even more disdain towards international football than there was all those years ago, that the point I'm sort of referencing in history. And I just think so much can be done to make international football more attractive. The tournaments come along, I absolutely love them. And I'll sit and I will watch every single game. I love it. I love different nations being involved. I love looking at players that I'd have never have looked at ordinarily. I love all of that stuff. But Arsenal are just being smart here, like so many others and like so many others in the past. This is not something to criticise Arsenal or indeed Bukayo Saka for. He has got the biggest few months of his career coming up. Why would he want to take any risks with a minor muscular injury that could potentially see him miss that period or any part of that period to play a couple of meaningless friendlies? So you can criticise Saka, you can criticise Arsenal, whatever. Really, something needs to be done to make international football more popular again. And that the start would be finding a way in which it impacts club football less. Because I don't know about you guys, like obviously it's different for the Greek team. They're in a playoff to get to the European Championships. That's not a friendly. That's not something that is meaningless. That has meaning. And I love international football when there is meaning to it. What I don't like is international football when either it's a pointless friendly or we're starting to, which is what we've done in recent years, manufacture essentially meaningless competitions that have no place in anyone's heart to try and create this illusion that international football is attractive again. So, yeah, criticise Bukayo Saka all you want. England fans, criticise Mikel Arteta, Arsenal's medical staff, whatever you want. But this has been going on for years. This is not something new. This is not a new trick that Mikel Arteta's pulled out from up his sleeve. This is something that has been going on for ages and ages and ages. And just to reiterate the point for those of you that are maybe joining us in the live stream and are a little bit late to the party, it's not believed to be anything of concern. It's a minor muscular problem that Bukayo Saka had when he arrived with the England squad. And as a result of it not really disappearing or there not being significant progress made over the last couple of days, the decision has been made to not take the gamble, not take the risk, and allow Bukayo Saka to return to Arsenal where he can go through his rehabilitation with a view to, of course, returning for that game in 9 days' time at the Etihad between title rivals Manchester City and Arsenal. That's it from me in terms of stories. If you've got any questions, throw them in the chat and I'll take a couple before I disappear off. But yeah, don't forget to leave a like on the video if you haven't done so already. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you're brand spanking new. It really, really does help. And we'll be back with some of your questions right after this very, very short pause. Welcome back along to the program. Okay. There was a couple of good questions that I spotted a little bit earlier on that I do want to touch on. Django says, I'm hearing some noise about us looking at Rodrigo, Real Madrid winger. Is there any truth in it? So as far as I know, no. It was a report from what I would class as a questionable outlet. Should we just leave it like that? It's not it's not something that I think has got too much pace behind it. It's one of those things that I think has been mentioned maybe in passing, and due to kind of everybody knowing that Arsenal would quite like a right winger at some point to help, you know, sort of relieve some of the burden on Bukayo Saka. You look at Rodrigo and you look at the fact that Mbappe is probably going to Real Madrid, and, you know, what's going to happen there? How are they going to shift that forward line around to accommodate him and Vinicius Jr. and all of that? It's understandable that people think that Rodrigo might leave, but I don't know that this is true. And I also know that Real Madrid value Rodrigo really, really highly and would want very good money. So if we're talking about PSR all the time, and I do believe Arsenal will have money to spend in the summer, by the way, some of that's going to be funded by sales. And I don't think we're at the point yet where we're looking at players from Real Madrid and saying, yep, yeah, we're gonna try and make that happen or set the wheels in motion yet. I think there are players that Arsenal like, but I think the focus has to be on what happens between now and the end of the season. And yep, ducks should be put in order, but that's not for Arteta to do. That's for the sporting operation to do. And Arsenal on the pitch need to be focused on everything else. I don't know that this is true, and I don't really believe that there's much in this at this stage. So yeah, we'll see. Davide says, a bit disappointed that Timber didn't feature in the Queen's Park Rangers friendly. Hopefully there's another friendly before City he can play in, because we need him. I don't think he's going to play at City. I think there's a slim chance that he'll be a part of the squad. We knew that, you know, the idea was to get Julian Timber back ready and able to be part of a squad after the international break. And we haven't even had the international break really yet. So to expect him to play against QPR, I think, was maybe a little bit premature. Maybe the excitement got a little bit too much. Maybe it got the better of... And listen, Davide, it's not just you. I thought that as well. When I saw we were playing a behind-closed-doors friendly, my first thought was, is Julian Timber going to play? And then I thought about it and I thought, well, if the plan is for him to return after the international break, then this might come slightly too soon. Will there be another behind-closed-doors friendly? I don't know. This is something that's been more common under Mikel Arteta, because he likes that continuity and he likes players to be available. The one that we've just had was as I said already, probably designed more than anything to give Partey and Tomiyasu minutes, which is done, job done, achieved. Will there be another one? I'm not sure that there will be. There could be. I wouldn't rule it out. The likes of Brentford, Watford are sides that we've tended to play these types of games against in the past. But is it going to happen? I couldn't tell you right now. Is Timber going to be part of the squad that goes to the Etihad? Maybe. But again, I couldn't tell you that for sure. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have him back sooner rather than later. But when you look at the nature of that injury, it's very difficult to kind of rush someone back from that. And I think we've all been so desperate to see him that maybe at times we've talked about the timeline and we've been a little bit ahead of ourselves and a little bit ahead of the game in terms of where Julian Timber is actually at. I actually think that Julian Timber this season is probably not going to have any real impact, because he's only going to be at peak condition, and I'd argue that he wouldn't even be at peak condition at this point, but he's only going to be at a good enough condition going into maybe mid-April. So the window in which he could impact the team is going to be really, really small. I think what this season is about, and people don't want to hear this, but I think what this season is about with Julian Timber is rehabilitating him, getting him to a point where he can compete again with a view to him really pushing on and going again next season from afresh. And if he can help in a small way between now and the end of the season, great. But I don't think that's the priority. I think Arsenal made a big investment in Julian Timber and they don't want to impact that investment by rushing him back and him suffering an injury that could potentially see him ruled out for a long period of time again. So I think they've been very cautious. I think they've been very careful. And I think, although I'd love to see him on the pitch right now, I think that is the right way to go with this. Thank you for that question. Hacker says, do you see academy players playing a bigger role in the first team soon or next season? Honestly, no. That's my honest answer. I think, as I've mentioned earlier, I think the gap between the Premier League's best teams and academy football has never been bigger than it is today. And I think there are a few players that I look at, and I think maybe, you know, Ethan Nwaneri, I think, is someone that can go on and play at a really high level. Lewis Skelly, I really like as well. I think those guys could potentially do it. Kozie Odubri looks an exciting talent as well. But that jump up is still quite difficult. So the point I'm trying to make is not that I want to write these guys off, because I would never do that. I think everybody deserves a chance. The point I'm trying to make is that the hardest jump is yet to come for those guys. And some of them are going to fall away when they make that jump. That's what happens. That doesn't mean they can't go on and have careers elsewhere, and very, very good careers, you know. But I just, yeah, I don't see Arsenal being in a place where, you know, they're going to pluck too many from the academy. I think there's two or three that they've got their eye on, and I've mentioned those players that I think there are high hopes for. But beyond that, I think they're looking at the academy as a way of generating funds as well. And you know that academy products being sold is really, really healthy for the books, and given all the PSR rules that we have in place at the moment. So I think what Arsenal are probably looking to do, and this is me guessing, but I think they're probably looking to utilize the academy better in terms of making sales from it. And if they can do that, then that would put them in a really good position to be able to go out and buy players. And that would hopefully help them be even more competitive than they are today. Okay, guys, I am going to leave it there. We've been going for about half an hour. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. There is no episode tomorrow. I'm working quite a bit tomorrow. I'm going to a National League game. I'm going to be at Barnet tomorrow afternoon. So I'm looking forward to that, something different. I might try and make some kind of like vlog of like National League football, just like, just to show it to people that it's different. It's not something I cover very, very often. I'm covering it because it is the international break and there aren't any football league games for me to be at or anything. But yeah, I do enjoy the odd occasion when I go to games sort of further down the pyramid. I find them interesting for very different reasons. But I'll maybe try and put something together to kind of show you guys on Sunday what it is like at Barnet, and you know how they get on against Dorking this weekend. Of course, from next week, we're going to start building up to that huge fixture. I've already got a couple of content pieces planned. We're going to do one piece where we predict the title race. So we're going to go through each team's running. We're going to predict how many points each team is going to accumulate. And then we're going to come up with a final Premier League table in terms of the top three. And you can get involved in that as well. We'll do it live and interactive for those of you that want to be a part of it. We're also going to do another piece where, focusing on the title race, we're going to pick a combined 11 from Arsenal, Manchester City, and Liverpool. And we're going to limit it to four players from each team. So you won't be able to pick any more than four from any one of those teams. And we're going to try and come up with a combined 11. Again, we'll do that live and interactive with you guys in the chat. Those two pieces are in the pipeline. I'm really looking forward to bringing you those. And then, of course, we're going to have our match preview for the game on Easter Sunday between Manchester City and Arsenal. So lots and lots to come. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you turn on the notification bell on YouTube so that you never miss a video or an episode. If you're listening on audio, subscribe, review, you know the drill by now. And if you're with us on X right now, why not come over to the YouTube channel or the podcast and join the Chronicles of Aguna family. Thank you all so, so much. As always, I will see you next time with more. Until then, goodbye.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.